People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we're back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Cam's Corner, Season 4, Episode 4, Episode 104. Sports reporter and anchor at WJAR 12 with NBC 10 here in Rhode Island. Nicole Menner joins the show today. Nicole, thank you so much again for taking the time. How have you been?
I've been good. Thanks for having me. We're kind of in like the lull now before Patriots training camp. And June was obviously busy with Celtics. So we're in that like right now. It's a kind of a calm stretch, which is nice.
Yeah, and most recently, I was just going to say, we just saw each other last at the Celtics parade. You know, your team has been covering the Celtics all season. They're finally raising Banner 18. So just like to kind of like the, instead of before diving into your career, like the most recent thing, like how was it like covering the parade that day?
Yeah, it was insane. I've been a Boston sports fan forever and I've never been to a parade. So that was my first one. And people were comparing it to the 2004 Red Sox parade just in terms of like craziness. And it was insane. So it was so much fun to cover and see them all come down on the duck boats. Yeah, it was like definitely one of my top career highlights.
What was like the most like unforgettable part from that day?
I think like the confetti started raining down right before the duck boats made their way. And it was just such a cool scene. And I mean, it was like I had my IFB in. Producers were trying to talk to us. I couldn't hear a thing. And it was just like the sea of confetti raining down. And it was just such a surreal moment. So that was really cool. I made sure to save some of that confetti.
Yeah, that's sick. I wanted to do the same thing. It was so hectic. But yeah. I saw you guys across the street. And like knowing me, like what I want to do in my career, it's like, you know, to be able to be in this and like cover it. It's honestly for me, for you, it was probably like a surreal feeling being a Boston sports fan your whole life.
Yeah, it was so cool. And you helped us out because you were with the Missoula. So you got us the interview with Joe Zahn, which was awesome. That was like a big highlight of the day too.
Yeah. I wish I could help out any more or like more than I could, but yeah, she was excited to do that. Yeah. But to get started into your career, I love starting off the podcast asking guests like where their passion for sports sparked. So I saw you went to Bryant. Are you originally from Rhode Island?
So I grew up right on the border of Rhode Island, but I like could throw a rock and be in Rhode Island. So I consider myself a Rhode Islander at heart, technically Connecticut. But we're on the side of Connecticut that's Boston sports fans. I know the side closer to New York is New York fans. Really, the Red Sox are what made me fall in love with sports and want to go down this industry path. We would go to games growing up. Baseball was always my favorite. And especially the 2004 Red Sox, that was like the first year I kind of understood what was going on. And I just like fell in love with it. And that was when I like told my parents I wanted to be a sports reporter and the dream just kind of stuck.
So that was when you were little. Did you play any other sports or was it kind of just like you want to be the face?
Yeah. I played a variety of it, but I always knew like I wasn't great at sports. So I played them because I just liked sports and the team camaraderie and all that. But I always knew I wanted to be like a reporter doing things like that. So it was kind of crazy because I ended up going to Bryant, which obviously is a business school, not a journalism school by any means. But it's kind of what you make of it sometimes. And I ended up getting an internship at NESN when I was at Bryant. And that is kind of what ended up helping my career take off and just the connections you make and the what you make of it. And there were things that Bryant that I could do, like we had a little TV studio station. And I just got involved in the club and kind of rebranded it and made the most of it. And then, it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah. And someone that I've talked to a lot that's helped me a lot, like kind of like a mentor in a way, is Jake Zimmer. He's the new voice of the Bruins. He's been doing it for about, I think, 2 years now. Coming up this last year, I think was his second year doing it. But he went to Bryant. And again, you say you make the most out of what you have and where you go. Did you do anything at the high school level? Or was it more so once you went to college, you were like, all right, I'm going to take advantage of this and see where it goes?
Yeah, it was once I went to college and I had kind of strayed away from the plan, like going into when I was picking colleges, I was like, okay, maybe this sports reporter thing won't work out. I would say it was bad timing because that was when I was choosing what college I wanted to go to. And then once I was there, I think probably going into sophomore year, maybe even more toward the end of sophomore year, that was when I discovered that Bryant had clubs for television. They had the TV studio, and there were things I could do, classes I could take. And that's when I kind of dove back down that path and said, okay, this is really what I want to do. I double majored. So I got my backup business degree in case it didn't work out down the line. But yeah, so then they had, again, you get to know your professors, and that's how I got to know one professor in particular. And he was the one that helped me get the internship at Nesson. And then really it's all about the connections you make. So I always say that to people. I'm like, yes, go to journalism school if you can. Obviously there's way more opportunities, but if you're in a place where you still want to do it and you're not at a journalism school, like, it's totally the what you make out of it and the connections you make and networking and everything like that.
Yeah. Was it easy to go through different, like, what were the types of programs that Bryant had to offer in that field?
Yeah. So I think just like your basic TV classes. And I know, you know, there, Mike Montecalvo from Channel 12 was actually one of my professors. And then now I know Bryant is doing a lot more in TV, which makes me very happy. I think they're adding a sports journalism class. So I'm glad to see that they're doing more now. But back then it was really just the basic TV media production classes. And then again, we had this TV club, and I kind of took it over and like rebranded it. And there was a decent amount of interest on campus. I think a lot of people didn't know about it. And that's, again, you have to like go searching for these things sometimes. I saw it at one of those, you know, colleges have their club day where like every club sets up a table.
Yeah.
That's where I discovered it. But yeah, we just did like silly shows and things like that. But it was just kind of a way to start dabbling in TV. And then once I got that internship at Nesson, which I started as like a programming intern going into senior year, I did two more internships during the year and just kind of learned everything I could, and then got hired there full time when I graduated.
Yeah, that was kind of like the perfect segue into what I was going to ask next. Yeah. I mean, you started off with, again, you said Nesson was your first internship, but it was more so on like the programming production side. How do you feel like now that you're in the spot that you are now, how do you feel like that helped you down the line? Like going into it, I know you wanted to be on camera and be like, again, the reporter, the face of whatever it was, but production, like learning the ins and outs of everything is huge. So how do you feel like that helped you out?
Well, I think it helped so much. Like I was running the teleprompter. I started when I graduated, I got hired as a production assistant there. So I did that for 8 months before I got my first on-air job. And again, you're doing all the behind the scenes thing, like you're cutting highlights for the pre and post game shows, you're running the ticker at the bottom of the screen, running the teleprompter. And it's all things that just kind of make you appreciate what it takes for everything to go on. Like it's not as easy as just jumping on air and in reading a script. And especially in local news, you know, we do everything. We do have someone running the teleprompter for us, but I'm cutting my own highlights, I'm editing my own things, producing my own shows. So it was really helpful to learn how to do all of that from the behind the scenes perspective. And then once I was on air, I knew how to do all of it.
And you did that while you were at Bryant for about a year, right? Year and a half.
So I did three internships. And then when I graduated, got hired as a production assistant.
Yeah.
Did that for 8 months. And then got my first on air job in a very untraditional way. So my first on air job was this place in Little Rock, Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And it was like a media hub. So it wasn't a traditional local station. It was like our studio was based in Little Rock and we were doing newscasts for multiple small markets. So I knew, since again, I didn't go to journalism school, I needed to get on air reps. So this was a way for me to get, I was a sports anchor and I would get I think I did like three shows for different markets. So you're kind of like producing shows from multiple different cities and then you're anchoring for, you know, you're doing newscasts for multiple cities, small markets. But yeah, so that was a way to really just get those on camera reps. And I did that for a year. And then that's when I got my first like real local TV job.
Yeah.
But that was kind of a crazy. Yeah. It was like a very random job to take.
Yeah. How did that job come about? I mean, it was far away, first time like really being away from home.
So I was lucky because at Nesson, again, if you're an intern, like I would beg, not even beg, eventually the talent would start coming to me and asking if I wanted to go with them to like Red Sox games and Celtics practices and stuff. They all knew I wanted to be on air. So they would kind of take me to things and I would do stand-ups and that's how I built my tape. And I was applying to anything and everything. I mean, I look back sometimes and I see like the cover letters I was sending to these news directors and it's just hilarious to see. I was applying to anything and everything. And I think this was probably the only job that reached out to me. And I was willing to do anything to just be on air. So I took it and it was a no-brainer. And it was a good experience. Again, I got the on-air reps. I was only there for a year, didn't have to sign a contract or anything. So it helped. And then you get those reps, someone else takes a chance on you. And then that's how I got my first job in like real local TV.
Yeah, and that was in New York, right, with WBNG. Yep. Did it for about 2 years, right?
Yeah, so I was sports director there, and that was, again, like small market TV, so fun. You're covering high school stuff, doing silly high school football shows. Everyone's in the same boat as you, just wanting to, you know, start building their career. So, yeah. And then, of course, COVID hit.
Yeah.
So 2020 was my second year there, and especially when you're in a small market, like there's not many sports to cover during COVID. So I did some news and stuff, but it all worked out.
Mm. It's like, so I guess someone for like me, that's like recent college grads, people that are trying to get that entry level spot. Obviously moving is going to have to be a factor, and you moved pretty quickly. Again, you're only in Arkansas for a year. Then you bounce over to New York. We'll keep going down the line, but talk about your mindset as far as moving and like what that adjustment process is like trying to really break into this field.
Yeah, it's tough. I won't sugarcoat it. I was fine. Like once I was in New York, it was fine because I was close enough to home and I had great friends there. Still some of my best friends today. Mm. But like Arkansas was a really hard year. I was so far from home. I'm lucky I have amazing parents that would come visit a lot. But we always joke now, my mom will be like, if I got a call on my screen and it said, Nicole, you were probably crying.
Yeah.
So it's tough. I mean, and again, this was an untraditional type of job. So I wasn't like out and about meeting new people from the other local stations. So it was tough. But again, you make the most of it. Like I still talked to some of the people that I worked with there. They were very good to me, but it's just so far from home. You know, you're working weird hours, you're missing holidays, missing friends events. So it was tough. But I wouldn't change a thing. Like I'm so fortunate that I did that. It, you know, you learn how to live away from home. And again, if you really want to be in this industry, like, you know, that's what it takes. So you just kind of accept that's what you have to do. And again, it's like, I could sit there and cry about it, or I could make the most out of it. So I did a mix of both in the first job. But after that, I would say it was fine. Like, so after New York, then I went to Wisconsin. And at that point I was older. So I was kind of, you know, it was easier to deal with being far away. And that was hard because I had a long distance boyfriend. I was, you know, Green Bay, Wisconsin's not an easy place to get to, but like loved my experience in Wisconsin so much. Was even like considering my boyfriend moving out there with me because I thought I was going to stay there for another contract. So it gets easier as you get older. And as the job, I guess, gets better, you know, once you're doing like covering the Packers was so cool. I loved my job there. So it made it worth it being far away.
Yeah. And again, like that job in New York was a sports director position. Not saying it's something that you weren't like had the background in, but again, you weren't ever like a sports director for at the professional level. So like, again, having that background with Nesson and the production and programming and all that different stuff, how do you feel like you were able to kind of take the job, like take the bull by the horns and like really hone a sports director position? Cause it was different.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think I'm the type of person that is like very organized, detail oriented. I always check over things. So like in that sense, it was fine adjusting. But I think I was like learning how to put together a real package for the first time when I got that job. So luckily I had people around me that were really willing to help and kind of teach me things. I hadn't really used a camera like extensively before that job, but that's when it comes down to like, I stayed there. I put in the extra work and made sure I knew how to do it like off hours. So then I, you know, once it came time to actually work, I knew how to do it. So I think it's all what you put into it. Like I was willing to stay there and learn everything I could. And I was lucky enough that the person who hired me, like trusted me in that role without having the experience. But again, I think it just comes down to like the type of person you are. And they could tell that I was going to work really hard and make sure that the sports department was in good hands. So it's a lot though. I mean, I think I worked like 50 to 55 hour weeks every week.
Yeah. And football season. Yeah. Talk about more with, job in Green Bay. I mean, covering, Aaron Rodgers was there at the time. So again, like a Hall of Fame caliber guy and just being around all of that. When I was with Channel 12 this past summer, like, I mean, again, I was just an intern for a few months, but being around all that for like the first time was like, it was kind of like a starstruck moment for me to be in that position. And I'm, again, you were already in those positions before, but to be there for a majority, not majority of your career, but a good 2 years, like you said, just talk about like the ins and outs of that. And if it was more, I guess, professional in a way than the other positions that you had.
For sure. And I think every job that you go to will be an adjustment no matter what, like always going to be an adjustment period. I even had it when I came here and I had the great experience of covering pro teams in Green Bay. So it was very overwhelming at first because I started in, I think like May 2 years ago in Green Bay, and I immediately was covering the Bucks in their championship run. So that was really cool. But football's a lot harder because so in Green Bay, the Packers are everything. Like you are doing crazy Packers coverage. You need to know the ins and outs of everything. Football was not my favorite sport. I knew it, but I didn't know it in and out like the way I know baseball. So training camp is just a different animal in Green Bay. And I was so overwhelmed the first few weeks because I made index cards and I was like, you know, leading up to it, I was trying to memorize the numbers and the players and their backgrounds. But I'm the type that you really don't learn it until you're actually there, like seeing everyone. So it was overwhelming trying to get to know a 90-man roster. But, you know, year two was like a drastic difference from year one. Year one, I was just trying to learn everything and kind of take it all in. Especially like I wasn't afraid in press conferences to sit back and listen at first instead of like jumping in and asking questions. I kind of wanted to just sit back and observe, especially because and like you'll learn each player, you get to know how they, especially Aaron Rodgers, like you get to know what kind of questions they want and like what they'll respond to. So I think it's important. Like I always say, don't be afraid to just sit back and take it in for the first few weeks. I think that was really important for me in Green Bay. And my first year there was also, so it was 2021. So they were still in COVID protocol where we weren't allowed in locker room. Everyone was coming to the podium. So maybe I don't know if that made it easier or more difficult, but I find the locker room setting like so much more friendly, I guess, and you can get things out of them way more easily. So like year two was, I had so much fun covering them. Like you know the players at that point, you know exactly what to ask them. They know you because in Green Bay, it's so small. Like everyone knows everyone, not nearly as much media as there is in Boston. So yeah, year two, definitely. Like once you get the hang of it, it's much different than when you're first getting adjusted.
Yeah. There's so many media people like at the,
it's crazy.
When I saw at Patriots practices and mini camps, I'm like, oh my, there's gotta be at least like 40, 50 people here.
Yeah. I've never, so when I, again, this is where I say it was a little overwhelming coming here because in Green Bay, so like Aaron Rodgers would do his media availability at his locker, which was kind of like a funny thing because why wasn't he doing it at the podium? I don't know. But it was his thing. He did it at his locker and we had like a pool. So me and another reporter would stand in the front and hand them and hold the mics because our stations were the ones that were shooting it. So we had to stand right in front. So like any given day I could ask, well, every time he talked on Wednesdays, I could ask him a question if I wanted to, like I was right there. I could barely get in questions to Mac Jones last year at training camp. Like it was insane. Just the amount of people I would try to, you know, you try to talk and it's like, everyone's just talking over you. And I was like, okay, this is tough.
Do you have any memorable Aaron Rodgers stories from interviewing him and being around
people
him so much?
People always ask me that. And I don't really think so, but my first experience covering him was, I don't know if you remember. So he was on that holdout from training camp. Mm. After COVID, I mean, every year, both years I was there, technically it was like three off seasons. We didn't know what was happening with him. But my first experience with him was when he came in and he had like that iconic, we weren't sure if he was showing up until the day before. And then he had like an iconic press conference. And it was just, I was kind of like, whoa, I don't know. Fun to cover because there's storylines more than football. And obviously like he was a very entertaining person to cover. He was always really nice. People always ask what he was like. He was, I don't know. I always enjoyed like hearing his stories. He gave such elaborate answers, which a lot of quarterbacks don't do. So I appreciated that. But I can't think of any specific stories. People always ask me that. I'm like, I need to dig deep and think of something. So I have an answer for this.
Yeah, but sometimes there's not. It's just kind of like a
Sometimes you get it was routine. I mean, everything was interesting with him. We had to like we would have to listen to he would go on Pat McAfee every Tuesday. And it was just funny because we had to listen to it, because if you don't listen to it, then the next day when he talks, you don't know if you're missing something. So we always joked, like, once we, my friends and I have all since moved on from Green Bay, and we're like, thank God we don't have to be like held down by Pat McAfee on Tuesdays anymore. It's entertaining, but I'm just like, I don't have to be listening to Aaron Rodgers anymore every day of the week.
Yeah. It's like, it's consuming because that's like the franchise guy. You have to know every ins and outs of, like you said, everything. So, once I get that shot, I'm excited to see like what my tasks will be.
Totally. Again, well, and another thing, like I was so same as Patriots, you know, the players are off on Tuesday and practice is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. My off days at my job, the way it worked out, were supposed to be Wednesday, Thursday, but I did not want to miss a Wednesday at Packers because I would travel to the road games too. So it's like, I'm going to be listening to the sound anyway at some point during the week, and I would rather just be there on Wednesdays. So I kind of, I was willing to like take split off days and shift my days. And I was off, I think, on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Sometimes I would even just go in on Thursdays because I didn't want to miss storylines, and I like asking questions and getting those stories. And then if I was off on Thursday, I was tuning into the press conferences live on my couch so I could tweet it out. Now here, it's not so much like that because there are so many people like tweeting about Boston sports, but in Green Bay it was almost like it felt like if you weren't tweeting and following, it's like you're not doing your job. So I mean, I recommend that to people. I'm like, listen, again, it's what you put into it. Listen to the sound on your off days, especially early on. Like now I'm again being here, I've kind of found the balance of like unwinding and staying off social media some days when I'm off. But like starting out when I was young and hungry, I'm like, okay, I'll listen to everything, I'll tweet everything and all that. So
that's me like every day, especially doing this. I'm always on my phone looking at stuff like,
you that's know, a good mentality to have. Yeah, though. It is.
Because like you said, like for me, I'm hungry. Like I want to break in and be like the best. So, but yeah, my people around me are always like, Cam, you're always on your phone. You're always on this. I'm like, I got to look at this. I got to check this quick.
I'm like, yesterday someone was like, oh, Rafael Devers isn't playing in the All-Star game. I was like, what do you mean? I was just off the last 5 days and I have been like checking in, but I didn't see that he wasn't playing in the All-Star game because he's dealing with a little injury. And I felt like, I was like, oh my gosh, why haven't I been on Twitter today? And I was like mad at myself for missing that. And then it's like, okay, it's not that big of a deal, but it's that mindset we have.
Yeah. It just, it sticks with you forever.
Yeah, it does.
But so before I get into like your first few days on the job here, where you're on now with NBC 10, you mentioned again, huge Red Sox fan growing up. Now you get to be in the midst of that and cover that. What was that first feeling like, knowing you're going to come to Rhode Island, knowing you're going to be able to cover Boston sports, the Red Sox, again, your favorite team growing up? Like, what was all that like?
It was crazy and it happened really quickly. Again, I thought I was staying in Green Bay, and then this job opened and it just ended up being like a seamless fit. But it was surreal to be like, because I had moved around since 2018, so to finally be able to come home after 5 years, like I could not believe it. And it was just like a surreal feeling. I'm trying to think what the Patriots was probably the first thing I covered. And yeah, just to cover like a Bill Belichick press conference. I'm sure that was the first thing I covered last year. It was nuts. And I remember like my dad was texting me during it and you know, it's so cool. My parents record like our 6 and 11 o'clock shows and they watch them every night. So it is very cool. And I have like family members that will text me and like send it's just, it's crazy to me still that, like I get to be kind of in my home state doing this, but yeah, it's still surreal to me a year later.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that too, what your first thing you covered was. Cause I remember the first time I met you was at Chris Tapp's Porzingis, that press conference he had at the Auerbach Center.
I forgot about that actually. Yeah. I was still kind of shadowing then. But yeah, that was probably the first day. Like I actually went out and about. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that was, I remember Sam Knox, who was again, a huge mentor for me too. Again, being so young and having all the experience that he has, he was kind of bringing me around, showing me the ins and outs. And then he introduced me to you. And, that internship was really eye opening for me because not only was I around all that, like Celtics, Patriots, all that stuff, but it was more so like meeting and networking people. Like I was like, oh, you know, this is your first like few days on this job. I didn't really know anything about you. And it's like, you know what? If I now a year later, it's like,
right,
I interned with you a little bit like during the roadie football season. And like, I have all these connections back from all the times I've been in college and whatnot. So it's like, that was my biggest thing taken away from that internship. Right. So I guess for you this past year, someone, again, another mentor of mine, Frank Carpano, huge, huge, legendary sports reporter in Rhode Island. What's it been like working with Frank? And just talk about like other role models you may have had like throughout your career in this field.
No, Frank's so cool. We love working with him. You know, obviously he's been doing it for a while, as well as many of the Boston guys. So like, they still have the old school mentality, and I'm traditional. I'm a traditionalist. So I like that. I'm not as like social media savvy and everything, which I know it's great that, you know, I'm sure your generation is, and that's great because that's the way things are moving. I'm still a traditionalist, so I'm like trying to find the balance, but I like appreciate the way Frank is still that way. And he's honestly, he's such a chill boss. He's a great boss. Lets us kind of just do our thing and helps us find stories and stuff. Knows everyone. Like, you go out with Frank and it's like he's saying hello to everyone. He knows a guy everywhere. So that's really funny, just to see how much of a legend he is. But for me, I'm trying to think role models. So like, I always loved the Red Sox. I want to be a baseball reporter. So I always like Hazel May was, I think, the reporter that made me want to be a reporter. And she was never technically the official sideline reporter. I recently learned that. But she did a lot of the broadcasts for NESN back in the day. So I loved her. She was probably my favorite. And there's been so many great sideline reporters for the Red Sox that I love watching. Obviously like Erin Andrews is a fun one. She has a way of being so personable and like what's the word I'm looking for? Like, she's just chill with the players. She doesn't try to overthink it. She just asks them simple questions. And I know, obviously she's so well respected. I love Diana Rossini. She does less on air stuff now, I think. But I always loved watching her when she was on ESPN. So I'm lucky because I think there's so many like female sports reporters that now we can look up to, whereas, you know, 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. So, I mean, there's so many to choose from. Who, I love Tracy Wolfson on CBS. So yeah, but I think it's also like, I used to try to like shadow, and I think you can learn things from them, but also there's a semblance of like knowing that it's okay to be yourself and have your own like style. Don't try to copy someone. But I do try to watch them, and I still do this. I'll be like, oh, that was a great question. Like, that's a great way to ask that. So yeah, be yourself, but also, you know, if you want to study these people and see how they do it.
Yeah. And after all these years now, looking back at your whole career, as a whole, we talked a lot about like the unforgettable moments and stuff like that. Do you have a starstruck moment you can remember like throughout the years that kind of like was something, again, an unforgettable moment where like you just won't ever forget it? Like something that's like, wow, I get to work in sports and get to be around this every day.
Yeah, I feel like I've had a few. And let's see. So I've had a few this year that have been really cool. So let me start with those. Getting to cover, I got to cover, obviously, the Celtics parade was awesome. That's up there. The Tom Brady Hall of Fame ceremony, so cool to be at. That was definitely a career highlight. I got to cover Caitlin Clark's WNBA debut. That was fun. This year has been like, we had a stretch where there were some really cool things. Covering the Bruins playoff run was also awesome. Covering the Bucks championship run when I got to Wisconsin was fun. There's like a few Packers games that I'll never forget. Again, I got to travel. So there was like a crazy Thursday night football game in Arizona, and they won it in just a crazy way. So that is not like an important game, but it was just one of those moments where I was like, this is so cool that this is what I get to do. And even in my first market, I know I'm missing things also, but in my first market, I got to cover, we were right by Cooperstown, New York. So Baseball Hall of Fame weekend, and Mariano Rivera, I'm not a Yankees fan, obviously, but I respect certain players on the Yankees over the years. So getting to cover Mariano Rivera getting inducted was very cool. And again, I know I'm missing things, but I've been lucky because there's a lot of things I've gotten to cover, and sometimes you forget about it. And then you go down the list and you're like, wow, I've gotten to do some really cool things in this job. Oh, covering, sorry, one more thing. Bill Belichick leaving the Patriots. I mean, that was an insane stretch of a few weeks, and that is definitely up there because, and, okay, now that I'm rambling on, Aaron Rodgers leaving the Packers.
Yeah.
I would actually, let's say, Belichick and Rodgers, those were the two biggest, like, moments that I've probably ever covered.
is the Brady, like, so that was, what were they doing again? What was that whole event like? I forget, like, I mean, that was most recently, but.
Yeah, so they had so it was his Patriots Hall of Fame.
Night. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, so they had like the red carpet, and you know all these players that you grew up watching are just walking down. I got to ask Bon Jovi a question, so it was just like never thought on my bingo card I would be in an interview scrum with Bon Jovi, but that was really cool. And the second we started, our show started at 6 o'clock was when Brady was walking in. So as he was walking in, I was like live on air narrating it, and that was really fun.
Is there like a certain type of way you had to go about that? I mean, your mindset is probably all scrambled all over the place because there's just so much going on.
I think my producer was like, okay, if it works out, he's going to be walking in and we're just going to come to you and you're going to narrate it. And I just kind of just, I was like a scene setter. So I just described what was happening. I probably had excitement in my voice because it was like an exciting moment. And I'm sure those are the situations where I've learned, and this was, you know, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been this like calm about it, but it's like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's an off script moment, and it's okay to like, I think I probably repeated a few things. Like I was, you know, I was just kind of mentioning what was happening. And then I kind of circled back and like went over it again once he had disappeared. And I've kind of just like learned how to do that over the years. And again, 2 years ago, I would be so nervous about doing that. Yeah. And now I'm just kind of like, it's really not that big of a deal. And I've also learned like, it's okay. Not everything has to be perfect. So I used to be such a perfectionist, and I would like beat myself up if I even had one stumble. And it's like, you watch the people on national TV and everyone stumbles over a word every now and then. It's going to happen. Just keep going and like talk over it. So that's something I've also learned over the last few years. And, you know, it takes time, but I'm glad I'm at that point now.
Is ad-libbing, did that come kind of naturally to you, or was that something you had to kind of get used to?
I think it's a good question. I definitely do it more. And like, even when I'm anchoring, the producers know to add in some extra time to my sports block because I do tend to ad-lib and throw in extra words. I've always been a chatty person. So I don't know. I think probably over the first few years of my career, probably in Green Bay was when I first started being more okay with ad-libbing. But especially now, again, it just takes time to like with what you're comfortable with. But I like ad-libbing. I like having a script to rely on, but it just like feels so much more natural when it's ad-lib. But I like having notes about things I'm going to talk about. So it's kind of a mix.
That's something I'm going to try to really have to get used to because I'm so used to having like a script or even like questions like for like the podcast. Like I always have a day or two to like look over stuff because I want to be prepared and know like a lot about my guests. I mean, and ask kind of like the questions that like you're like, oh, that's a good question. Or like, oh, I never thought about that. Like stuff like that is where I script it out. But sometimes like even today, like at some points, like you say something, I'm like, oh, that'd be something like it just pops in my head.
So, yeah, like a follow-up or something. Yeah. And that's like the same as doing real interviews. And I always say it's good to be prepared. I like even the story I'm doing today, I take notes on and I go in my notes app in my phone and I write down questions that I want to ask.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like think of them, sometimes I don't, but it just helps. It's always good to be prepared. So
yeah. And I know you got stuff going on today, so I won't keep you much longer. But one, I appreciate the time. Thank you so much for hopping on Cam's Corner. And two, again, just a word of advice for the younger generation of people like myself and, you know, people that are aspiring to be reporters, broadcasters, et cetera.
Yeah, I would say don't be afraid to be yourself. Go out of your way to make connections, talk to people. I think one thing I was going to say about interning, like when I was an intern, I was so shy. And I always look at the interns around here because I feel like they aren't shy, which is great. Like you weren't afraid to introduce yourself to people and look where you are now. And that's awesome. So I think, you know, when you're starting out, don't be afraid to ask questions and ask for advice. And even like the way I did at NESN, like ask to go to different events and do a stand-up and think of something just simple like that. So be yourself, network, and Honestly, I think it just comes down to hard work. Like, it, you know, this industry is really tough. You're working weird hours. When you move away, you're missing holidays, you're missing your family. But if you, you know, really want it and you put in the work, then it all works out. I'm lucky enough that that's how it worked for me. I'm back home now. But it wouldn't have happened that way if I hadn't put in the work to get there. So yeah, I think just put in the work and it can be very rewarding if you go about it the right way.
I appreciate it, Nicole. Thank you. Is this your first ever podcast appearance, or am I like a few down the line?
I did a bunch in Green Bay. I actually nice. Don't have any podcasts here.
Because mine's the best. That's why no one can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See, you're my first Rhode Island podcast. This is great.
Awesome. Again, I appreciate it, Nicole. Episode 104, which is crazy. About 2.5 years down the line. So I've been at it for a while now. And, you know, just getting better and better, meeting people like yourself and being able to take away from everybody has been, again, the biggest thing that I've learned in this field. So I appreciate it again, Nicole. Cam's One Corner on all social media. Any social media that you want to plug before we end off?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram. I think it's just Nicole Menner. Very basic, nothing fancy in there. So yeah, shoot me a follow. I have a lot of my Green Bay followers still. That's kind of how I built my Twitter following. And you know, I need more New England followers. So
yeah, awesome. I hope they're tuning in and listening. Again, Nicole, I appreciate it. I wish you luck in everything else that you do down the line.
Thank you.
Episode 104. We'll see you guys in the next episode of Cam's Corner.